Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim daf Lamed Vav. We left off on the top of Lamed Vav, Amud Aleph. I'm not sure, did Rabbi Balzum? I don't know where. Okay, so we're going to pick up at Tana Rabban on the top of Lamed Vav, Amud Aleph, and which is about six lines into the, that's the one? Oh, on the bottom of the page. Okay, so I guess we'll go back a little bit. Where's the last skinny line? Okay, so I guess we'll pick up on the last skinny line and daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by the Chus for Shlema for Rabbi Kelmer Shlita Yehuda Ben Rivka Lea by a lifelong Talmud. It's also sponsored by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer in the honor of the Daf Yomi share, and also by Richard Lipchinsky in memory of his father Shalom Ben Avram Mordechai Elav Shalom, in honor of the share that's kept him inspired from Phoenix to Yerushalayim and now in Plano, Texas. We thank all of these sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to yesterday we started the discussion of matzah. We started to discuss what you can and cannot make matzah out of, and the daf is going to start today. Once we get to the Tana Rabbana that I thought we were starting with, we're going to start today with the Machlokas Tanaim about which halachos we can derive from the term lechem oni in the Torah, and that's going to lead into a brief discussion about making milchik bread, and then the Gemara is going to discuss why we're not allowed to use lukewarm water for making matzah, but we're allowed to use lukewarm water for making the karbonos mincha that cannot be chametz. They have to be matzah as well, and somehow lukewarm water is not considered a risk. That's okay when it comes to the karbon mincha, and that's going to bring us into a discussion of lesisa, the soaking of the kernels, and when it's mutter to do, when it's aser to do. Then we're going to talk about how we know that matzah cannot be made from bikurim, from the fruits of bikurim, and what the difference is between bikurim on the one hand and maaser sheni on the other hand. The matzah shel maaser sheni apparently is okay, but bikurim is not okay. And we're also going to discuss whether an onen is allowed to eat bikurim. And then at the very end of the daf, we'll have a few more halachos that we learn from the phrase lechem oni or lechem oni. So let's begin, I guess, at Tana Rabban, the last skinny line. Tana Rabban, that you might think you could be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with tevel that is not fixed, that it's not tithed. So says Mara, tevel that is not tithed, that's redundant. Kol tevel nami yolo nitkan, all tevel, that's the very definition of tevel. Ela betevel shlo nitkan kol tzarcha, shnitl menu tshuma gdol, lo nitl menu tshumas meiser. No, we mean tevel that is not fully nitkan, that you take tshuma gdol from it, but you haven't taken yet the tshumas meiser from it, or meiser rishon, or meiser sheni, vafil meiser ani, or you haven't taken the meiser sheni, or the meiser ani, meaning it's not fully tithed. So minayin, how do I know that such tevel you cannot be yotzei your mitzvah matzah with? Tamalomer losocha lav chametz. Mishu yisur mishum bal tocha lav chametz. Yatzazeh, shein yisur mishum bal tocha chametz o mishum bal tocha tevel. That the only thing you can be yotzei the mitzvah matzah with is something where the entire potential iser, excuse me, is an iser of chametz. But if the potential iser is something else other than the iser of chametz, then it's not going to be eligible to be used as matzah. And over here, it's tevel. So tevel, aside from the Yisra of chametz, you have the Yisra of tevel. So it says Gemara, wait a second, but it does it not have potential for chimutz? The Yisra de chametz, if it becomes chametz, it may be tevel, but it's also chametz. So how can you say that it's not chametz? Where did the Yisra of chametz go? Some Rav Sheshes Hamani Rabbi Shimoni Damar Ein Yisr Chalal Yisr. Yes, we're assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon who holds Ein Yisr Chalal Yisr. So if something already has an Yisr Tevel, then the Yisr Chametz is in fact not going to be Chal. Ditanya, where do we find Rabbi Shimon holds such a thing of Ein Yisr Chalal Yisr? Rabbi Shimon Omer Ha'ochel Nevela B'Yom HaKippur Im Potter. That if a person eats Nevela on Yom Kippur, he's Potter. So Rashi writes, Potter Michatas. The Einis of Yom Kippurim Chal Alis Nevela. Since it was already Asr as a Nevela before Yom Kippurim, so now he's not going to be Chayiv to bring a Karbon Chatos on Yom Kippurim, because the Yisr of Yom Kippurim is not going to be Chal on the Yisr Nevela. Barashi adds, Vim Boba Yom Nisnavla Afilu Achi Yisr Kalim Yom Kippurim Mishmev Rechai. You might say, well, wait a second, what if it first becomes a Nevela on Yom Kippurim? Then should you be Chayiv Chatos? Rashi says, no. Because if it first becomes a nevela on Yom Kippur, that means it died on Yom Kippur, which means that prior to Yom Kippur, it was already Eivir Min HaChai. So if it was already Eivir Min HaChai before Yom Kippur, it was already Yasser before Yom Kippur. So Ein Isser Chalal Isser. So bottom line is, we asked, how do I know that you cannot be Yotzei the Mitzvah of Matzah with Tavel, and we said because Ein Isser Chala Lisser, if you assume like Rabbi Shimon that Ein Isser Chala Lisser, and you can only be Yotzei Matzah with that which has the potential to become Chametz, to have an Isser of Chametz, well, we know this does not have the Isser of the potential for the Isser of Chametz, because Ein Isser Chala Lisser, it's already Asser Mishum Tavel. Says Maravina Amar, no, you don't have to say Ein Isser Chala Lisser, Afilu Teim Rabbanan. Mishi Isser Mishum Baal Tochel Chametz Bovad. Yatzazesh Ein Isser Mishum Baal Tochel Chametz Bovad. El Af Mishum Baal Tochel Tavel. In order to be Yotzei the Mitzvah of Matzah, you need something that the only potential Isser is Chametz, that there can't be any additional potential Isser. But over here, even if you hold Isser Chalal Isser, so there are two Isserim associated with it. It would be Chametz and Tevel. So if there are two potential Isserim associated with it, then you can't be Yotzei the Mitzvah of Matzah with it. Says Gemara, Midi Bilvad Ksiv? Well, where does it say the word Bilvad? Mehechi Tesi, that there's such a din that even though it has Chametz potential, but because it also is Tevel, now it's going to be problematic to use as Matzah? Mehechi Tesi? So says Gemara, El Mechavar Tikus Rav Sheshes. You're right, we have to assume like Rav Sheshes, that we're assuming Ein Isser Chalal Isser, we're assuming like Rabbi Shimon, and only within Rabbi Shimon, where Ein Isser Chalal Isser, can you say that you can't be Yotzei the Mitzvah of Matzah with it, because it doesn't have potential for the Isser of Chametz. Why doesn't it have the potential of the Isser of Chametz? Because it's already Yasser Mishum Tevel, it already has the Isser of Tevel. So now we pick up with Tanur Rabbanan. So says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan. You might think you could be Yotzei the Mitzvah of Matzah with Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. After all, you're allowed to eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. So Tamal Omer Lechem Oni. Mashenechal Ba'aninus. Lechem Oni means that which is Nechal Ba'aninus, that which is eaten in a state of Aninus. And Maaser Sheni Yatzezeh Sheni Nechal Ba'aninus. El B'Simcha Div Rav Yosef Glili. Rav Yosef Glili says, no, Maaser Sheni is eaten in a state of Simcha. So it's the exact opposite kind of feeling that one is supposed to have than when they're eating matzah, and therefore Maaser Sheni is not okay for matzah. Rabbi Akiva Omer, matzos riba. Rabbi Akiva says, yes, you can use Maaser Sheni for matzah, because we have an extra riboy in the pasuk to tell me all sorts of matzah, including Maaser Sheni. Ah, yim kein matzah malom lechem oni. So what does Rabbi Akiva do with the phrase lechem oni? Pratli isa shenilo shabiyayim v'shemen udvash. Lechem oni comes to exclude the ingredients, not the halachic status of the bread, but the physical makeup of the bread, that the bread shouldn't have, that the matzah shouldn't have. Yayin, shemen, dvash, that's what makes it a lack of lechem oni. My time with Rabbi Akiva, what's the basis of Rabbi Akiva? Because miksiv lechem oni? Aniksiv. It doesn't say lechem oni, though the in the Torah, though it's spelled ayin, nun, yud. So it's lechem ani, which makes sense that it should be the kind of lechem that an ani eats, but it has nothing to do with your general mood and disposition while you're eating the matzah. It's all about the ingredients of the matzah. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, mi karinan ani? Oni karinan. And Rabbi Yosef Glili says, yeah, that may be how it's spelled, but how do you pronounce it when the Balkari reads it from the Torah? It's oni, and therefore the Ikur Drasha should really be about oni, that which is nechal ba'aninus, and not that which is nechal b'simcha. Rabbi Akiva, and the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Akiva would respond, hide the karinan bay oni, you're right, we do have a kri of oni, and we don't ignore that. That's Kiddush Shmuel, Damar Shmuel, lechem oni, lechem sha'onin alav dvarim harbe. Lechem oni tells me that it's the lechem is that which you are ona dvarim harbe on the lechem. That's why the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch Paskin in Hilchos Pesach in Tavayin Gimel, that after the Manishtana, when you begin Avad Mayinu, you bring the ka'ara with the matzos back to the table, or the way we do it is we uncover the matzos during Avad Mayinu, and the Torah writes that that's based on lechem oni, sha'onim alav dvarim harbe, that the matzos should be right in front of you. It's meant to be a prop during the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's a prop for the story to be able to tell over the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Rashi and the Shibali Aleket say that no, Omer Lav Dvarim Har means Gomrim Alav Halel V'Omer Lav Agada, which gives an indication that Halel on the Seder night is a Din D'Oraisa, that's learned from Onim Alav Dvarim Harbe. The way Rabbeinu Chananel says is that no, it's Matzah Zusha Ono Ochum Al Shuma, that this refers to when we actually fulfill the Ikar Mitzvah of Sibur Yitzchayim, Klal Shalom Omer Shalos Dvarim Alav Lo Yafti Yidei Chavasa Pesach. Pesach, Matzah, Morah. So when you say Matzah Zul Shema, when you get to that part, you need to Matzah Zul. You need to be able to point to it. It needs to be right there. That's the onum of Dvarim Harbe. V'savar Rabbi Akiva Isa Shinilosha B'Yayin B'Shem L'Dvash. Actually, before we get to that, just we said that Miksiv Lechem Oni Aniksiv. So this sounds, this whole discussion, whether it's Kri, Ksiv, sounds very similar to the Sugya Masech Sanhedrin and Masech Sukkah, Yeshem L'Mikra, Yeshem L'Masaris. That whenever we have a Kri and a Ksiv, do we emphasize the drasha that is, that can be derived from the way it's read or from the way it is written? The problem is that from the pashas of the Gemara, it sounds like Rabbi Akiva does not darshan the Kri, Oni. He darshans, if he were to darshan that, he'd be modet Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that Oni is as if it said Oni with an Aleph, and that would exclude Maisha Sheni, which is not Nechel Ba'aninus, is only Nechel Ba'simcha. Rabbi Akiva would rather darshan Oni without the Vav, the way it's written, and that's why he excludes Matzah Shira. But the Maram Chalava points out that in Masech Sanhedrin, Rabbi Akiva takes the other side. Rabbi Akiva is the one that holds Yeshem LeMikra. So how come over here he holds Yeshem LeMasaris, and Rav Chalva gives the obvious answer? The Gemara, as we read it, as it plays out, has Rabbi Akiva darshaning both, because he also darshans Oni as Lechem Shonim Alav Dvarim Harbe. So Yeshem LeMikra, Yeshem LeMasaris is when something's got to give. You know, it's either Sukkas or Sukkos. It's either plural or it's singular, Totefes or Totafos. But over here, there's a drasha to be made, both from the Mikra, and from the Masoris. And in such a case, of course you would darshan both. You would darshan both the Mikra and the Masoris. That's what Maram Chalva points out is going on over here. That's the drasha of Rabbi Akiva. The Gra has a beautiful comment over here. He says if you look throughout the Masechta, you'll find that there are four separate drashos that we derive from Lechem Oni. Number one, we darshan that to exclude over here. We darshan to exclude Isa Shenilo Shabiyayin Shemenu Dvash, that it can't be kneaded with the Yayin Shemenu Dvash. We also had, like we just said, Lechem Shonim Alav Dvarim Harbe. On Amud Beis, we're going to have on the bottom of Amud Beis Prat lecholutula ashisha, that the lechem shouldn't be scalded with boiling water or with or made in very large amounts. That's a too chashuv of a way to make bread. It's the madarko shalani beprusa, so too the matzah has to be beprusa. And number four, madarko shalani is that the ani is masik v'ishto ofa, that they don't have much time, they don't have much money to be able to rent out an oven for too long. So they do it as expeditiously as possible whenever they have access to an oven. So he's being masik the tanur and she's being ofa, and they're working together with each other because the time is of the essence. Time is money. So too, so when you make the matzah, it should be in a very rushed kind of way because you can't risk any chimutz. So who masik v'ishta ofa? So that's the fourth drasha. So the Gra points out that in the Chidushei Berurei Rabbeinu Agra on Daf Kuftas Vavam Beis, that by everything in the world, there are four bechinos. There's Chomer, Tzura, Poel, and Tachlis. L'mashal, let's say you have a shtender, right? Or let's say a table, right? The table that you eat on. So the eitz is the chomer. The wood itself is the chomer. When you make it into a table, so then that chomer takes on a tzura. The poel is the carpenter who does all the malacha to make that table, and the tachlis is the eating on that table. The fact, what it's meant for, the fact that you're going to eat on the table. So you have all four in the four drashas of Lechem Oni. The chomer, it shouldn't be yayin shemen udvash. That's just the ingredients, the raw ingredients. So one halach of Lechem Oni is in the chomer. Keneged the tzura, prat lecholot vashisha. We're going to have how to make it. Don't make it with scalding water. Don't make it in a huge bread. Not to give it the right surah. As far as the poel, hu masik v'ishto ofa, what the people who are making it are supposed to be doing. And as far as the tachlis, lechem sha'onim alav dvarim harbe. So you have all four levels within the drashos that we make on lechem oni. So now says the Gemara, v'sov Rebbe Kiva yisrish nilosha b'yayim shemel dvash lo. Does Rebbe Kiva really hold that if you have a dough that's kneaded with yayim shemel dvash, that it's no good? V'atanya ein losh nisim pesach b'yayim shemel dvash v'im losh amgum li'olam tzarv miyad v'chamar miyochal, that when it comes, you're not supposed to use yayim shemel dvash, but if you do, Rambam Gamliel says you got to burn it right away, and the Chum say, no, you don't have to burn it. You can didn't eat it. V'amar Rabbi Akiva, shavti yaisa eitzal Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shua, v'lashti lahem isa b'yayim, v'sham l'dvash, v'lam l'davar. Rabbi Akiva said, I had this experience that I actually made matzahs with yayin sham l'dvash in front of two gedolei olam, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shua, and they didn't tell me anything. And even though you're not allowed to knead dough with these things according to the Tanakhama, you can smear these items on the surface of the bread. Asal in the Tanakhama, that's within the Tanakhama. The Chum Momrim Esalashin Bo, Bekatvin Bo, Veshein Lashin Bo, Mekatvin Bo. And the Chum say, no, whatever you're allowed to include in the dough itself, you can paint on the outside of the bread, but whatever you're not allowed to include in the dough itself, you're not allowed to smear on the outside of the bread either. Vishavin shein lashen esiisa b'poshin. But they all agree you're not supposed to knead the dough with warm water. But the bottom line is, Rabbi Akiva said that it was no problem that he was allowed to make dough with yayin, shemer, dvash, and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lazar had no problem with it. So how can we say that Rabbi Akiva holds that you're not allowed to use yayin, shemer, dvash? Because lechem oni, that it's got to be a poor man's bread. I don't just see over here that Rabbi Akiva says it's okay. So lo kasha, habiyam to rishon, habiyam to sheni. No, one is talking about on the first night of Pesach. On the first night of Pesach, you have a mitzvah of matzah, the mitzvah of lechem oni. The rest of the yantav, you just have to be careful not to have chametz. So when you make it with the yayin shem u'dvash, Rabbi Akiva says, no good for the mitzvah, because the mitzvah needs to be lechem oni. But as far as not being chametz, it's not chametz, so it's not going to be a problem. Kedamar lo Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi lebnei, the Gemara says, like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said to his children, yom akama lo talosh li b'chalva, that on the first day, I don't want you to knead the dough for me with chalav, mikan ve'elach lo shli b'chalva. But after that, you can use chalav, you can use milk in the kneading of the dough. Says Marva Tanya, Ein lashnasi isa b'chalavim lash kalapasasur mnei hergalavera. But wait a second. In general, you're never allowed to make dough with milk in it, because there's an iser of making milchig bread. So says Gemara two answers. Ela hachi kamar yom akama lo talushli beduvsha mekan ve'elach lo shli beduvsha. No, it wasn't about milk. It was about using honey in the bread. That he said on the first day, I don't want you to use honey in the matzah that you're going to make for me. But after that, you can make for me with honey. But ein achinami, of course, you cannot incorporate milk into the dough. If you incorporate milk into the dough, it's not kosher. We already had this idea earlier when we discussed on Daf Lamed about the ovens that they were that they would smear with shuman. So we said part of the problem of smearing the oven with shuman is that any bread that you're going to bake on that is going to be fleishig, and you're not allowed to have fleishig bread. So the same, you're not allowed to have milk bread. You're also not allowed to have fleishig bread. They're both an issur. So Viva Yisem, the second answer of why he allowed dough to be kneaded with milk, liyolam bechalva kedama ravina ke'ein tura shari hakanami ke'ein tura. There is an exception to the issur of milchig bread, and that is if you make it ke'ein tura. So as long as you make it ke'ein tura, it's okay. So mestama, that's what he wanted. He wanted the matzahs to be made ke'ein tura. What does ke'ein tura mean? So Rashi explains that ke'ein tura means ka'ayin shel shor. Tura is Aramaic for shor, like the eye of an ox. In what way is it like the eye of the ox? That an ox has a small little beady eye. So when you make the bread, make a tiny amount. Why is it that you're not allowed to make milchig bread? Because we're afraid that one day you're going to be hungry, you're going to make yourself lunch, and you're going to cut some salami and put it on two pieces of bread, and you'll have a salami sandwich. But if your bread is milchig, that's going to be a problem. You have bread with every meal, but you're always going to be eating fleishig. So that's the problem, that you might come to eat fleishig with your milchig bread. But if you make such a tiny amount that you're going to consume it very quickly and you're not going to have time to forget, by the time you consume it, you're not going to have time to forget that it was milchig. So then we're not so worried about milchig bread. The Tur quotes from the Rif, however, that no, kein tura means like a tsura. It should be a different kind of shape. It should look different than regular bread. Like a tsura sa'ayin, that it should be shaped like an eye. Something like that. And that way you'll remember. You'll say, oh, this bread looks funny. This bread looks strange. What's with this bread? And then you'll remember that that must be the milchig bread. The Rambam and the Rashba say, like the Rif, that if it's not betsuras hapas to the point that you'll recognize that something's off about it, so then it's going to be mutter. In Shari Dura, which is what Shulchan Aruch is based on, he paskins like both Rashi and the Rif, meaning either one is good enough. As long as it's either small or it's unusual, then it's good enough. That was the big heter that the Thomas's English Muffins had, that the OU gave still does give hashkacha to Thomas's English Muffins, even though the English Muffins are dairy. So they had a few heterim. So one of them is that they're very small. So they each muffin is small. You'll consume the entire thing in one sitting. That's a little bit of a questionable heter, because the whole idea of it small is that you won't have time to forget about it, but these things have preservatives that those things could last for like weeks and weeks, and you put them in the freezer and they last for months and months. So that's a little questionable. The other one is that they're unusually shaped. They're shaped like a muffin. They're not shaped like a bread. So it's a breakfast muffin. So a breakfast muffin, you always you put butter on a breakfast muffin. You don't put meat on a breakfast muffin. Yeah, but tell that to the Goyim. The Goyim put meat on, right? Sausages and whatever. If you go to a tray for Dunkin' Donuts, you know, they have sausages. In the kosher Dunkin' Donuts, they have bacon instead of bacon or whatever. So that's a little bit questionable also. But the other cooler that they have is that it's pachus mishishim. It's batel b'shishim. The milk that they put in is less than shishim, so it's batel anyway. So that's a little bit about the yisur of milchik bread. But kein tura is the big cooler that we have by milchik bread. But this idea of matzah ashira, so certainly if you have matzah that's with what seems like maskanas ha-gemara is that if you have matzah that's made with yayin, shemen, dvash, then it's certainly not a fulfillment of lechem oni. So the question is, what if you only have that? What if you only have matzah ashira? Can you be yotzei the mitzvah at all, or is it better just not to eat matzah at all than to eat matzah ashira? So the Maharal in Gvuras Hashem writes that even though there's a mitzvah to eat lechem oni, the mitzvah is not fulfilled with matzah ashira, like our Gemara says, but there's also a separate mitzvah of just eating matzah, and it's still matzah. It doesn't lose its shame matzah, it's just also matzah ashira. So while you're not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of lechem oni, you'll still be able to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. And based on that, the Maharal says, on Erev Pesach, when it's asur to eat matzah, which meaning on Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to eat the kind of matzah through which you could be yotzei your chiyuv with. So this kula of the Maral turns out to be a chumrah that people assume, oh, matzah shira is not going to be a problem on Erev Pesach because I can't be yotzei with it anyway. So says Maral, no, you can't be yotzei lechem oni with it, but there's a separate mitzvah called the mitzvah of matzah, and that you can be yotzei with matzah shira, and therefore you should not have matzah shira on Erev Pesach. Magen Avraham in Siman Taf Ayin Aleph quotes the Maral, and he disagrees, and he says that matzah shenilosha b'shemen is in large quantity doesn't have a shei matzah at all. The din of lechem oni defines matzah. It is not two separate dinim of lechem oni and matzah that you can have one without the other. Lechem oni helps to define what is considered to be matzah. The Briska Rav brings rayas from the Lashonos of the Rambam that matzah, that there's an isra of achilas matzah ashira, and the din of lechem oni is not only a tenai in the mitzvah of matzah. It's that only if it's a niyah that it's considered to be kosher, otherwise it's not kosher. It's a din to be mekayim the zichron the lechem oni shebe mitzrayim, and that zikaron has to be al yedei. On Yom Rishon, you don't need any other matzah, only lechem oni. Meaning part of that zikaron is to not have other things that take away from the lechem oni shabbos. So you should only be eating lechem oni. That's how the Briska Rav understands. Okay, says the Gemara further now, at the two dots, second wide line on the page, v'shavin shein lashon esi'isa b'poshrin, that everyone agrees that you should not use, we had just mentioned in this brisa, that you're not supposed to use warm water to knead the dough in. So maishnami menachos, why shouldn't be any different than karbonos mincha? Many karbonos mincha, most karbonos mincha, were also matzah. They could not be chametz. The tanan, kol haminachos, niloshos v'poshrin, that all karbonos mincha are kneaded with warm water, umishamran shelo yachmitzu, and then you have to have shimur, you have to guard them that they shouldn't become chametz. So apparently it's okay to use warm water, just you just have to be on guard. Why should matzah be any different than karbonos mincha? So says Gmar, im amru b'zrizin, yomru b'shein's reason. It's one thing if you're talking about zrizin, you're talking about kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to be very careful, but everybody's got to make matzah for Pesach, so that's not going to help. So you can't trust that everyone's going to be so zaris. Iachi milsas nami losses. Allah Amar Rabbi Zera Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar Shmuel Chitin Shal Menachas Sein losin osa. Yeah, if it's made by such reason, if Menachas are made by such reason, we have such absolute trust in this reason that are taking care of the Menachas. Why do we discourage or not allow lasisa in the Beis Hamikdash? Lasisa is the soaking of the grain before you even grind it up. Now, soaking of the grain should not make it into chametz, but it runs a higher risk of chametz, right? Meaning the risk of chametz changes as the process goes on. For example, we just learned a couple of days ago that even while it's still mechuber lekarka, there's a possibility of chimutz. So there's always a possibility of chimutz. So by doing the sisa, you're really being memaher the possibility, you're really making it karov, the possibility that there be chimutz, even though really natural chimutz is only once it's already ground up into flour. That's, by the way, that's how they explain. There's Machlokas Rashi and the Rambam. When we say that you need shmura matzah, shmura from what? What does shmura mean? So machlokas whether it means just shimur lishma, that in order to give the matzah shem lishma, it has to be shimur. Or no, shmira mechimutz, that you have to guard it from chimutz. Well, wait a second, if it's shmira mechimutz, why do you only need shmura on the first night? Why don't you need shmura throughout Pesach? And how could there be any machlokas about that? Of course you have to be shomer mechimutz. So the question is, yeah, but from when? Meaning only from the time that the water hits the flour, then that's where chimutz is at the greatest risk. But does anyone hold you need shmira mishazria from when you plant it, because while it's still mechuber lekarka, it might become chametz? No, because that's so far-fetched that it will become chametz while it's mechuber lekarka. No one requires shimur from then. So shmira mishas ktsira is also far-fetched. But that's the inyan of shmura, if you assume that shmira means shmira mechumut. So anyway, so we're asking why it is that when it comes to the carbon mincha, if we're saying that we're not concerned because people are zrizin and they're going to be very careful, so why can't you do the sisa? Why can't you soak the grains? As the Elisha bezrizin isa, the sisa lesa bezrizin. Because the kneading of the dough was done by zrizin, but the soaking of the grains, which is way before that process of kneading of the dough, before you even grind it into flour, that's not done by zrizin. Is that true that the kneading of the dough is done by zrizin? Kohanim are only involved from the kmitza and on by the karmel mincha, which is when they take the three fingers full of the komet and they to fraktara. But prior to that, it's all done by Yisraelim. So what are you so confident about that there is reason that are involved? So it says more lisha nihid bezrizin lesa bimakom zrizin isa. So granted, the kneading of the dough is not done by zrizin, but it's at least done in the mikdash. So it's done in a makom where people are on extra guard and they're extra careful. The amar mar. Blila ksheira bizar, chutz l'chamas hazara, psula lafuke l'sisa deina bizrizin v'lo b'makom bizrizin. As opposed to l'sisa, which is neither done bizrizin nor b'makom bizrizin. Umayshna mi minchas ha'omer, detanya minchas ha'omer, losin osa v'tzovin osa. Why should this be any different than minchas ha'omer? Where the minchas ha'omer, where we do allow l'sisa by the minchas ha'omer? So says Gemara, tzibur shayni. Because the minchas ha'omer is a carbon tzibur, and a carbon tzibur you're not going to mess up. Meaning they're going to be on extra guard when it's a carbon, when there's only one for all the Klal Yisrael to make sure that that's done perfectly correctly. So even if they do the sisa, there's very little risk of chimutz. The Minchas Chinuch raises the question that the kasha is really not such a strong kasha anyway, because the Minchas Omer is made with toasted sa'orim, with barley that's toasted. That's beferish in the pasuk of kali be'esh. And the Gemara we're going to see in a couple of days from now tells us that if you have toasted grain, it's not machmitz. So toasted grain cannot become chametz. So what would be the risk by the Minchas Omer? By the Minchas Omer, there's really no risk. So as the Minchas Chinuch says, that the Gemara could have given that answer, but the Gemara would rather just tell us also that in general, the levels of zrizus are different. Not only, there's a difference between regular people versus regular people in the Mikdash versus Kohanim in the Mikdash. There's another level, and that's tzibur. That when it's a carbon tzibur, that's the highest level of zrizus where we know we could have the most trust. Even though maybe in a chinami, it's really unnecessary over here, because anyway, it could not become chametz. Tanu Rabban, you might think that you could use bikurim for the mitzvah of matzah tamalomer b'chomos shoseichem tochlu matzos matzah neachelos b'chomos shoseichem yotzei bikurim shein neachol b'chomos shoseichem will be yishlaim the Rabbi Yosei Glili. Rabbi Yosei Glili says no, you can only use matzah that you could theoretically eat anywhere. Bikurim can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, and therefore it's not good for matzah. Rabbi Kiva omer matzah umarar ma marar she'eno bikurim af matzah she'eno bikurim. Rabbi Kiva says I have a different limud to tell me that you cannot use bikurim for matzah because we have a hekesh between matzah and marar. Marar cannot be bikurim. The reason marar cannot be bikurim is because bikurim is only from the shivas aminim, and marar is not one of the shivas aminim. So marar cannot be bikurim. So therefore, you can't be yotzei matzah with bikurim either. Ima marar shein b'mina bikurim, av matzah shein b'mina bikurim. Says Rabbi, wait a second. There's a reason marar cannot be bikurim. That's because it's not possible. There's no min of marar that's bikurim. So by matzah, you're going to tell me shein mina bikurim as well. Meaning that's not true when it comes to the mitzvah of matzah. Meaning matzah is with chitim and sa'orim, so it is supposed to be. So vozi chitim sa'orim sheish min bikurim. Should we make such a drasha to say that chitim and sa'orim should not be able to be used for matzah because they're b'minim bikurim and it's got to be just like marar? So tamalomer matzos matzos riba. That's why we have a special riba in the pasuk of matzos matzos. E matzos matzos riba if you will bikurim nami. Yeah, but once you can have a riba, so why not say that you can use bikurim also? No, hadar be Rabbi Akiva. So it says, you know what? Rabbi Akiva changed his mind. He originally said that based on the hekesh between matzah and marar, you may not use bikurim as matzah. But then he changed his mind. He's modded to Rabbi Yosei Aglili that it's really from b'chol moshul seichem, that it's not from the hekesh of a matzah and marar. So d'tanya, how do I know that Rabbi Kiva in fact changed his mind? That the Brisa tells us yachol yasad midech avasu b'bikurim tamalomer b'chol moshul seichem tochlu matzos. Brisa says explicitly, how do I know you can't use bikurim because it says b'chol moshul seichem tochlu matzos? So all I'm going to need to do right now is to show that this Brisa is authored by Rabbi Kiva. Once I'm able to show that this Brisa is authored by Rabbi Kiva, I know Rabbi Kiva changed his mind because Rabbi Yosei Aglili is the one that said this drasha b'chol moshul seichem. So what's the drasha b'chol moshul seichem? That only that matzah that's nechal b'chol moshavos as opposed to bikurim, which is only eaten in Yerushalayim. Yachol, the brisa continues, and we need to read the continuation in order to know, in order to be able to prove that it's Rabbi Akiva. Yachol shani motzi af ma'aser sheni. I might think that b'chol moshavos seichem excludes ma'aser sheni in Yerushalayim as well. That you cannot even eat ma'aser sheni in Yerushalayim, matzah of ma'aser sheni in Yerushalayim. Tamalomer matzos matzos riba. That's why I have an extra reboy in the pasuk that you're allowed to use ma'aser sheni. Umarisa the rabbis ma'aser sheni lahotzi bikurim. Well, wait a second. Ma'aser sheni and bikurim are very similar in that you're allowed to eat both of them, but you got to eat them both in Yerushalayim. So why is it that bikurim is excluded from matzah and ma'aser sheni is included? Why would you choose one over the other? So marba ani ma'aser sheni sheish lo hatav b'chol moshavos kid Rabbi Lazar umotzi ani bikurim shein lam hatav b'chol moshavos. No, the reason we include ma'aser sheni is because there is a way to make it mutter, like we'll soon see, if you assume like Rabbi Lazar. But Bikurim, there's no way to make it mutter outside of Yerushalayim. What did Rabbi Lazar say? What's the magic? How can you make Ma'aser Sheni mutter outside of Yerushalayim? Tam Rabbi Lazar, minayin Ma'aser Sheni shenitma, shepodinosa afilu b'Yerushalayim, that if Ma'aser Sheni becomes tamei, you could be poded even in Yerushalayim. Even though stam Ma'aser Sheni, you're not allowed to be poded in Yerushalayim. Once it makes it into Yerushalayim, it's too late for Pidyon. Pidyon is supposed to happen outside of Yerushalayim, but if it became tamei, then you could be poded in Yerushalayim. Tamalomer kilo suchal se'eso se'ein se'es ala achila shenem ravisa masos ve'es panav, that se'eso is the lashon of achila, as the pasuk says vayisa masos me'es panav, that Yosef gave his brothers portions of food, and based on that kilo suchal se'eso is you see that it's a lashon of achila. So that's sort of the daf yomi consensus. We just finished reading the story of Yosef and his brothers yesterday, so that se'es is the lashon of achila. So you see that that as long as you're not able to eat it, then you're able to be poded. So it turns out that even Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim, there is a certain possibility that it would be able to be eaten b'chol moshavos, and that's why we assume it's kosher for matzah. As opposed to bikurim, there's no possibility for it to be eaten outside of Yerushalayim, and therefore it's excluded. So says the Gemara, Uman shamad leidamer Ma'aser Sheni nafik pei. Who's the shita that holds you could be yotzei matzah with Ma'aser Sheni? Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva. And yet, so now we've proven Rabbi Akiva is the author of the Brisa, because he's the one that holds that you could use Ma'aser Sheni for matzah, and yet in this Brisa, we darshan that the reason you can't use Bikurim is not because of a hekesh tomorrow, but because of b'chol moshul seichem. So Shema Amina Hadrabe. So that's how we know Rabbi Akiva ultimately changed his mind and agreed to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So now says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, typically Melechamoni, why does Rabbi Yossi Aglili need to exclude Matzas Bikurim from Bechol Mosh Hoseichem? Why doesn't he just learn it from Lechem Oni? Because after all, Bikurim is eaten Mi Shenechel Ba'oni, Yatzazah Shenechel El B'Simcha. Bikurim is also eaten B'Simcha, so why not exclude Bikurim because of that? So some like Rabbi Shimon, the tiny Bikurim Asrun Onen, Rabbi Shimon Matir, he holds like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that that an Onen is allowed to eat Bikurim. So apparently Bikurim does not need to be eaten when one is in the state of Simcha. My time with Rabbanan, why do the Chachamim think that an Onen is not allowed to eat Bikurim? Rabbi Shimon says yes, but why do the Chachamim think that an Onen is not allowed to eat Bikurim? Dechsev, because the Pasuk says, Lo sucha lechol b'sharecha ve'omer mar, and the Gemara tells us in Maseches Makos, trumas yadecha elu bikurim. Now the pasuk says, what's lo sucha lechol b'sharecha? Says Maaseh D'Gancha, and trumas yadecha. So trumas yadecha means bikurim. This bikurim l'maaseh, that there's a hackish between bikurim and maaseh sheni. So ma maaseh asul onen af bikurim asul la'onen. That just like maaseh sheni cannot be eaten by an onen, bikurim also cannot be eaten by an onen. Aye, what about Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon said that an onen may eat bikurim. Rabbi Shimon, truma karina rachmana, kitruma, ma truma mutaras lonen, bikurim mutalonen. There may be a hekesh between bikurim and maaseh sheni, but the pasuk also makes a hekesh between bikurim and truma. It calls bikurim truma. It says trumas yadecha. So shouldn't that tell you that it should be more similar to truma? So just like truma is mutter for an onen, bikurim is also mutter for an onen. Rabbi Shimon, he the hakish leslei simcha mia michtav ksiva b'hu. So it says the Gemara, even though Rabbi Shimon maybe doesn't like this hakish between bikurim and maaseh sheni, because after all the Torah uses the word truma, but it still says the lashon of simcha when it comes to bikurim t'ksiva samachta b'chalatov. So how could you eat it when you're an onen if you have to have a sense of simcha? There's a direct conflict between aninus and simcha. So says Gemara, who lizman simcha hu da'asa? No, when we say bikurim has to be eaten b'simcha, it doesn't mean that one needs to be in a state of joy. It means it needs to be eaten at a time of the calendar that is a joyous time. Ditnan me'atzeres v'yadachag mevi v'kore. Between Shavuos and Sukkot, a person brings Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash and he reads the Parshas Bikurim. That's a time that a person gathers his grain and he's sameach b'masav, he's happy with what he's done and he's overjoyed by what he has. Me'achag v'yadchanukah mevi v'enu kore. But once Sukkot passes, between the Sukkot and Chanukah, a person could be mevi Bikurim, but he cannot be kore the Parsha Bikurim because it's not the Zman Ktzira, which means it's not a Zman Simcha anymore. But that's the key, that it's got to be a Zman of Simcha, but not necessarily that a person personally needs to be in a state of Simcha. And after Chanukah, the halach is, by the way, that you don't bring Bikurim at all, because it says Asher Tavi Me'artzecha. So we say that you're only supposed to bring it when it's Mitzuyim Al Pnei Artzecha, and it's not Kala L'chayim Min Asada. But we assume that by Chanukah, as Rashi points out, that based on the Sifri, that by Chanukah, it's already Kala L'chayim Min Asada, it's no longer available the Artzecha. The Rashash points out that the Gemara is going to say later on that anavim are not kalim in asada until Pesach and zesim until Shavuos, and only one min te'enim or tamarin is kalim b'chanukah. There's only one min that's actually finished by Chanukah. So why should that exclude everything else from bikurim just because of the one min, whether it's tamarim or te'enim, that one min that's no longer available? So that's a kasha. He leaves it as a tzarachin. Okay, so now we said that you're not allowed to use meperos because it's not lechem oni. So now the Gemara is going to say, what else do we learn from lechem oni? So we referred to this earlier when we said over the gra, the four limudim of lechem oni, but let's see it inside. Tanur Rabbanan. So the Braisa tells us that lechem oni prat l'chalut u'la'ashisha. You're not allowed to use bread that's boiled, no, with boiling water, nor a large loaf, an ashisha, which is not considered lechem oni. So says Mar Yachal lo yaseh adam yidei chavaso ela bepas hadra'a. I might think you need to use the most coarse bran to be yotze the mitzvah of matzah. It's got to be this not finely ground flour. So tamalomar matzos matzos riba. That's why I have a riba in the pasuk matzos matzos to tell me that no, it doesn't need to be coarse. It could be even regular, even the finest flour. flour. Vafilu kematzel shel Shlomo. How fine the kind that Shlomo Melech would have had on his table. It could be with the greatest oneg. Im kein matam alom lechem oni. So why does it say lechem oni? Prat lechalut lashisha. Lechem oni comes to tell me that it just shouldn't be boiled, or and it shouldn't be ashisha. It shouldn't be this large loaf of bread, because that's not at all darko shalani. Umay mashma dahay ashisha lishna de chashivusa. How do I know ashisha is the lashon of chashivus? Dechsev, because the pasuk says when David HaMelech is bringing the Aron HaBris from the house of Oved Edom Agiti to Ir David, it says in Sefer Shmuel Beis, they were making a big party about the return of the Aron. Vayichalik lechal ha'am lechal hamon Yisrael lemeish ve'adisha leish chalas lechem achas ve'eshbar echad ve'ashisha achas. That one of the things that they gave was ashisha, in the party bag that everyone got in order to celebrate was ashisha. V'amar Avchan Baraba ashbar. So what is ashbar? That's echon mishisha bapar. Ashbar is like a nutrikun of echon mishisha of a par. It's 1/6 the size of a bull. So that's a large amount. Ashisha is echon mishisha be'efa. Also a massive amount. It's 1/6 of an eifa. So they were giving these huge loaves of bread, and that was considered to be not at all the darko shel ani. Upliga de Shmuel, and Rav Chanan bar Abba, who says that ashisha is 1/6 of an eifa, is in fact against Shmuel's interpretation of that pasuk. Damar Shmuel, ashisha garba de chamra. Ashisha's got nothing to do with bread. It's a jug of wine that they gave out. They gave a lot of meat, and they gave wine. Dechsev, because the pasuk says when Hoshea is giving Musar to Klal Yisrael, that Hashem loves Am Yisrael, and the Jewish people respond to that love by turning to Elohim Acherim, to other gods, to foreign gods. We said that he's giving us Musar, that we love to drink a lot of wine instead of be Osek in Torah, that our relationship with wine is not a healthy relationship. We should be more focused on studying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up the Tanur Rabbanan on the bottom of the page.